All right, you guys, everybody settle down. Settle down. It's time. I just heard some great news. Jared Bunny is going to Prairie Bible School this fall. Let's give him a hand. How exciting is that? That's awesome, Jared. We're happy for you. Before we get started to introduce our guest speaker, I just want to let you guys know, this afternoon we have something really exciting happening in the city. Look at that. Stand up. Show everybody your t-shirt, Ralph. The good news of Jesus Saves. Noah and a couple of his buddies from the college have started a thing at 1 o'clock at City Hall downtown. And it's a March for Jesus is what it's called. And we're just here to go around the city. There's going to be people have signs and everything just to say Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King. And we're proclaiming the goodness of God. There'll be a couple of speakers. But basically, it's just to go meet at City Hall at 1 o'clock and march around and just proclaim the name of Jesus. So it's pretty awesome if you can make it. We're pretty excited. So, yeah, if you can make it, it's awesome. Ralph, are you going? Our guest speaker today, Jeff, why don't you come on up? Everybody, we know Jeff. We got David in the back who's new here. Everybody welcome David. David, give a big hello to David. So David doesn't know Jeff, so I know most of you guys do. Jeff and Janny are missionaries to our city. They're here to basically do what Noah and them are doing today, to proclaim that Jesus is Lord and that he's coming to pour himself out over this city. And so we're just really excited. We love when Jeff comes and speaks with us and shares what he feels God has called him to proclaim to this city and what God is going to do in this city. And so, yeah, we are always excited. So let me pray for you, Jeff, and we'll get going. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your goodness. And your goodness is often poured out through people, through friends, through family. And in this little family of unity, Jeff is like a cousin who comes over, and we're excited to see him. We're always excited when our cousins come over and get together. And Jeff is like in the family of God, Jeff is a cousin who comes over and tells us what God is doing. And so I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the family. I thank you for the kingdom. And I just pray a blessing over my brother. I pray that you would pour out your spirit through him, and that through his message, that our eyes would be open, that the kingdom is bigger, deeper, wider, and more present than we ever imagined. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Well, I sure do love being here, and that was a great... Thank you for leading us again to worship the Lord. I love that. And even the visiting time between, that's really great. So... Again, this week, last time, I was only here, 2 weeks ago, I think, or three, and I shared on a passage that's been so deeply on my heart in John chapter 7, and it talks about how if you're thirsty, Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me. And then he said, if you believe in me, as the scripture has said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, rivers of the Holy Spirit, he later stated. And that's God's desire for every one of us, every one of his children. He wants you to come to the fountain, to the artesian well, the flowing river that's always flowing, and be satisfied in him and be filled with his spirit. And not only be filled, but what God wants for our lives is that out of our lives would flow rivers of living water, and everyone around us would see the reality of God through our lives. That's God's purpose for our lives. But today I want to talk about other rivers. And this is what God wants for every community, is that first of all, his children would be so full of his spirit that the rivers would be flowing out of their lives to glorify him and to lead others to himself. By the fruits of God's spirit, love, joy, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And then we'd have this boldness. But when you look in the New Testament, after they were filled with the Spirit, they had a boldness, but they also had a deep humility. That can only come by the power of the Holy Spirit. When there's a boldness with a humility and with a love, out of love, it's beautiful. When the church is like that, the world is touched. But there's something else, there's other rivers that I want to talk about today. And those are rivers from heaven. Rivers of his Holy Spirit, not flowing out of his people, but flowing from him. And that is the most powerful thing you will ever experience in your life. And I'm just going to, you know, we talk about all the prophecies of God the Son in the Old Testament, but there's prophecies of God the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament as well, especially in the book of Isaiah. I'm just going to read a couple of my favorite passages of these prophecies of the Holy Spirit. It says here in Isaiah 44, 3 to 4, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty." Now, you always in the often in the Bible, when he's talking about water, he's talking about his Holy Spirit or his blessing. "I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourse." So he's saying here that he's going to pour out his Spirit on those who are thirsting for him. And he pour floods upon the dry ground. And that's, of course, this of course is a picture of Pentecost and of every time ever he's ever poured out his Holy Spirit. And then he says, "I'll even pour my Spirit on your children and touch them." Then if you back up a little, he says here in Isaiah 41, he says, "When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittah and tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it." So what he's saying here is that when the church is thirsty, of course it's talking about the physical, but always the physical is making a spirit. When the church is thirsty and they cry out to God, "I'll pour out rivers from heaven. And I will produce trees in a desert." These trees of righteousness, the Bible calls them, that he would be glorified. And everyone's going to look at it and say, "God did this." It's such a beautiful picture. Then, of course, I'm not going to read the one in Joel, but I'm going to read it as it was preached in the New Testament. Peter preached this at the day of Pentecost, this prophecy from the book of Joel. And after, of course, we all know the story of when Jesus left and he said, "If I don't leave, I can't send you the Holy Spirit." So he said, "It's very important that I leave." And of course, he was going to redeem the entire world. And then he was going to go to heaven and be with God. But then he said, "I'm going to send you the Comforter. And that when the Comforter comes, he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And so then he told them, "Go and wait for the promise. Wait in Jerusalem for the promise that I promised you from the Old Testament, from Christ himself, the promise." Like he said there when he taught them how to pray, just to keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking for the Holy Spirit. And if you're evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so the disciples, they went and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed for that promise. And it only told us before Pentecost came that they were in one accord and in prayer, praying for the promise of God, for God to pour out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. And this is what Peter says after God poured out his Spirit and they saw flames of tongues of fire. These disciples were preaching in languages that people had come from all over the world. They were preaching in their own languages and they did not know them. And they heard the gospel in their own tongue, their mother tongue. So people are going, "What is going on here?" And there was a right rushing, mighty wind, I think to symbolize. The fire was to symbolize. The mighty rushing wind was to symbolize. And this is what Peter stood up and said, "By this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. It was a prophecy of what God was going to do, and then God that day poured out his Holy Spirit in such power that later on, after Peter had just preached a message on really just a few verses from the Psalms and those verses from the book of Joel, and it said there, I'll just read what it says. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They came under so much conviction that at that moment there was 3,000 people that were born again. And not just born again, because the Bible says they continued steadfastly. They were touched that moment and their lives were changed for eternity by the power of the Holy Spirit. And from that, almost you could look at it as an explosion of the Holy Spirit's power. From that place in Jerusalem, the whole entire world, they said later, even those who didn't know Christ said the whole world is turned upside down by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not really the acts of the apostles. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And God began to pour out his Spirit on places. And 3,000 that day. The next day, there's 5,000 people in the church. Only God can do those kind of things. And he began to do a work that changed the entire world and is still changing the world today. And that same promise that they were given is given to us in the church today in Red Deer, Alberta. In the latter days, he says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And he means it. And that's why when he teaches us how to pray, we should be praying for the Holy Spirit, continually asking and seeking and knocking. But even quickly after this had happened, all this power, later Paul has to rebuke us and say, you foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? He said, after all you saw all the power of the Holy Spirit, now you're going to try to do the church in your own strength. And that's a real problem all throughout history, is where God moves in mighty power and then man takes hold of it and says, thanks God for doing that. We can do that in our own Christian life. Thanks for saving me, Lord. Now I'm going to live the Christian life in my own strength. Or thanks for doing a great work in this nation, Lord, years ago, but now we're going to run the church ourselves and we're going to get great preachers and great programs and great plans. Nothing wrong with any of those things when they're led by God. But we have forgotten sometimes. We forget where the power is. And we stop trusting in God, stop trusting in his promise. And the church then becomes weaker. And we lose our power. We lose that, and even in our own lives, we lose that river flowing out of our lives. We lose the river flowing from heaven. And that's why in North America today, we need to cry out to God again. Over the years, I read so much of the history of the church. I love to read it. And one person said, one thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history. but you see the power of God in places. I could pick years and years ago, or I could pick today. It doesn't matter where you want to pick, whatever age, whatever. Most nations that you come from here, as I look around this room, every one of your nations that you come from has had a powerful awakening of God that changed your country. Every family, many of the families here have had a powerful touch of God that changed your family or your community. And I remember after I got saved, I can just share my own failures. I got saved and it was by the power of God he saved me. And I thought, man, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. And so Janny and I, we'd moved to Winnipeg, Manitoba, and we thought, we're going to win every kid in this north end of Winnipeg to Jesus. And we did. We went out and told people about Jesus. We had kids. We had all these kids coming to this ball hockey league, and we had tons of kids, and we'd share the gospel with them all the time, and we'd have them to our youth group and to all these things, and we'd, you know, you'd just plead with those kids. Some of them were from gangs. Some of them were from wealthy homes, but you'd plead with them, say this prayer, please. Just say this prayer and you're saved. And I remember doing that all over the place. And kids would, okay, Jeff, if that's what you'd like me to do, what prayer is it again? Can you just tell me the prayer? I'll say the prayer, if you like that. And I'd, okay, say this prayer, and they'd pray. And then I'd be in the neighborhood quite a bit, and I still remember coming around the corner one day, and this boy, Eric, I just loved him. And he'd said a prayer, and I came around the corner, and he didn't see me, and I could hear him just cursing and swearing and so angry at this kid. And I came around the corner, and I said, Eric. And he looked at me, and the tears just started coming down his face, and he said, I'm so sorry, Jeff. I never want to swear around you. I said, Why around me? Didn't you give your life to Jesus? Oh, no, he said, I just did that to please you. But he could tell, and something inside of me said, this is all wrong. You're not supposed to be doing this to please me or just when I'm around. And I remember being really, and at that time too, I was going door to door all over the north of Winnipeg trying to tell people about Jesus and realizing that I can't do this. Like, you could talk somebody maybe into saying a prayer, and I remember talking to Pastor McLeod about it, saying, I'll stand on my head if those kids will just turn their give lights to Christ. And he said, that's the problem, Jeff. You're doing it in your own strength. And I thought, that's true. And he said, we need to pray that God will move in these people's lives. And it changed my life. And it is good. It is very important. We're out telling everyone. He tells us to do that. By his strength and by his power, we should be telling all the people around us the gospel, sowing those seeds. But it takes the Holy Spirit to take those seeds and to save their souls. And so I began to realize that, like one person said, it's a good thing to talk to men for Christ or talk to men for God, but it's an even better thing to talk to God for men. And you begin to cry out to God for his Holy Spirit to be poured out. And there's been several times throughout my life where God has poured his Spirit on the community that we live in. And often it was before you'd be out with all these people sharing the gospel, and you guys are doing that here too. I know that. You're sowing those seeds. But then when God comes in mighty power, and not saying like, you know, throughout all of your ministry often, there's people get saved here and there and there and there, and it's wonderful as you watch. I love, you know, I used to go to Tim Hortons all the time. I don't do it as much now since COVID. I need to get back at doing that. But I remember sitting in Tim Hortons, you'd just be praying for God to work in people's lives. And while you're talking to them, you start to see the tears welling up in their eyes. And then the tears start pouring down their face, and you watch them come to Christ. Or someone you've been praying for a long time, and you see the brokenness, and God saves their soul, and they hit the ground running because it was God who saved them. But those ones and twos, those are wonderful. When the Holy Spirit pours his Spirit out and convicts someone and draws them to themselves, that is fantastic and it's wonderful. But what's even more better than that is when God pours his Spirit on a community, on a family, or on a group of people. I know in Lost River too, while we were praying there, before that, many of us were sharing the gospel and there was no real power. And then all of a sudden, God poured his Spirit out on that community. And almost every home you went to, the people would say, lately, all I've been able to think about is God. And that's amazing when God does that. And then it's like you're just catching peaches falling out of the tree. But the church, we get away from that. We start trusting in our own strength. And what I want to do is just challenge you again that we need to get back on our knees and pray for the promise that there be rivers poured out on this town. In our area. Because that's what's going to change lives, and that's what the church is to be doing. We're to be praying. And often we get trusting in all these other things, and so we stop praying. But we need to be praying for this promise of the Holy Spirit to be poured out on our area. Right now in the world today, there's places where, like China. I remember reading the early work when God really began to move in China. Mao Zedong thought he'd wiped out he was trying to wipe out all of Christianity out of China. And he did almost do it. It was down to about 4,000 or 5,000. But what he didn't realize is that those 4,000 or 5,000, that was the worst thing he could have done. Because those 4,000 or 5,000, all they had left was God. They hardly had any Bibles left. They would hide the Bible and the church would come in. They would get 15-minute slots and they'd write as fast as they could and they would write out the word of God. We don't realize what we have here. They had a few Bibles and they had the Holy Spirit. And they began to pray, and God poured his Spirit out on China in power that, I mean, I'm sure they've seen it before, but they were saying it that when God was working in his power, there was 30,000 people a day being saved in China by the power of his Spirit. And still today, it probably has one of the worst governments in the world today. And yet the people, they say there's close to 150, maybe close to 200 million Christians in China. It's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Iran, which is one of the most dangerous places on earth, that's where the church is growing the fastest right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our nation, Canada, United States, there was great awakening so powerful when God poured out his Spirit in the United States, in the northeast of the United States, and it affected Canada as well. But I've shared this before, but one quarter of the United States was born again in an eight-month period, and a lot of it was already born again. It changed the United States. All these talk of what made it's democracy, it's this, it's that. It's not those things. It's God moved powerfully in these nations, in these great awakenings in North America. My family, God poured his Spirit on my family and changed my family. I remember last time when I was here, we talked about those meetings we had with Bill McLeod. I walked into those meetings. I had no idea what I was walking into. And then all of a sudden, God came. And I was never, ever the same. I could never say, I could never, ever say there isn't a God. I met him. He met me. And here in these passages in the book of Acts, when God moved in mighty power, sometimes it was 3,000 people right here, saved and born again. But there was other people, when it said they were cut to the heart, remember we read they were cut to the heart? When they were cut to the heart, they wanted to kill the apostles because they were so angry. But when God moves in power, it affects people. And that's why we need to pray. God, would you come in power? Like Isaiah, we need to have the heart of Isaiah when he says, oh, that you would rend the heavens, God. That you would come down. That the mountains would flow down at your presence. Because all it really is God coming amongst his people in manifesting his presence. When God meets you, you can never, ever be the same. And I know people will always say, oh, God's everywhere. Of course he's everywhere. But when he shows up and reveals himself, nobody can stand. When you stand, there's people, I've had friends that say, oh, Jeff, I'm gonna talk with the big guy when I get up there. I'll talk to him. All this born-again stuff you talk about, I'll just tell. I said, no, you won't. You'll be lying on your face. You won't be able to say a word. When you won't be telling God anything when you stand before the holy God of everything. And when God shows up on earth in power, he convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He changes everything. And that's why the early church, that's why these people over the years, they pray and cry out to God for him to come in power. These great men of God, Daniel, he's one of the only people in the Bible. I love about the Bible, it's honest about its heroes. People say, oh, David, God does not hide anything. David was a man after God's own heart, but David was just like us, and he made some biggies. Daniel, it doesn't say a word about anything he did wrong. And when he stood in the presence of the Almighty God, he said it was like one who was dead. This, one of the greatest prophets that was ever. Isaiah, he said he was a great prophet. And he said when he came into the presence of the Almighty God, he said, woe is me, I'm undone. And he began to realize I've got a bad mouth. When God comes in power, people we've been praying for, when he comes and he begins to convict you of your sin, it is the most powerful thing that this world has ever seen. When God shows you your sin, when God comes in his holiness and you see your sin, you see, because he says he'll convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He convicts you of your sin that separated you from God, and you want to, that's why everyone loves, when they really are truly born again, you love Jesus. Because you know he's the only one who can save you from your sin. Because you've seen your sin. And you and righteousness, you realize that your righteousness is like filthy rags in his sight. All your good things you've done, that's nothing. And then of judgment, he convicts of judgment, of that every single person on earth that doesn't humble themselves before the Almighty God will face the judgment of God. You could never tell me there's no hell. When God reveals that to you, but the fact that I'm not out telling everyone, that's so sad because I've seen God is in some of these dreams I had of hell when God was saving me. But the Holy Spirit, he can touch a person's life. And so that's why we cry out to God for our community. We cry out to God for our neighborhood because you can't save them. You can tell them the good news, but you cannot save them. And when the church isn't praying, it's saying, we don't even need you, Lord. And we don't trust it's you. We can do this. And that's so wrong. And so we need to care about this community and say, God, we're going to claim your promises that you're going to pour out your spirit upon all flesh. And we're going to believe you and we're going to cry out to you till you come and move in this community and change this place again. That's really the only hope that North America has. We have sown and sown and sown. And there's been times in the past, like England was at a place years and years ago. They were at a place where you could hardly find a sober priest or pastor. You had to carry a sword. If you walked the streets of London, you had to carry a sword. It was a very dangerous place to live, and it was not a good place to live. And God poured out his spirit on England in such power that it transformed, and it became this little tiny island ruled the world because of the power of God. But we need the same thing today. And the part that I love so much about the promises here is we need to be crying out to God for our community, for our nation. But the promises, what he says is, I'll pour water upon them that are thirsty. And often the reason why we're not crying out to God is because we're not thirsty. And we can say to God, Lord, I'm a little thirsty, but make me really thirsty so that I will be a person that cries out to you. And as we come together with others who are thirsty, then he says he'll pour floods upon the dry ground. And then he says that he'll pour out his Holy Spirit upon our children. And you know, I told you earlier about how I'm trying to win the people of your community to Christ. I would say to God, and I honestly, truly, I'm sure every parent here could say it, is if it takes me dying this very second for my children to be saved, I would say right now. And you do everything you can to tell them to live before them. But we cannot save our children. And so we need to cry out to God for our children. That God will pour out his Holy Spirit on our children. That God will pour out his Holy Spirit upon our community. Because he can save them. And so I just wanted to encourage you that yes, we need to pray, Lord, please cleanse me so that there's rivers of living water flowing out of my life. That my children get soaking wet every single day. My neighbors get soaking wet every single day because of the reality of Jesus Christ flowing, the Spirit of God flowing out of my life. And then we need to pray personally in our quiet place and join together with others to pray for God to pour rivers from heaven of his Holy Spirit and begin to convict our children, our neighbors, and our community and draw them to himself. Because in 100 years, we're going to realize how the only... Like we're celebrating Jesus. When I'm not usually the person, I love sitting standing on some steps in City Hall, but when Joel said, we're going to be celebrating Jesus, well, I want to celebrate Jesus because he's the only hope anybody ever has. And in 100 years, we're going to be celebrating, we're going to still be celebrating him and way better than we will this afternoon. We're going to try this afternoon, but he is the one who can save you. And the Holy Spirit is the one who shows you and opens your eyes to how much you need him. And so we need to be proclaiming the gospel and praying for the Holy Spirit to bring that conviction and show people how much they need the gospel. And that's really the simplicity of the church. We get so complicated when we try to do it ourselves. Like I said, we'll stand on our head, we'll do whatever. But God says, no, this is the simplicity of it. I want you to pray and ask God to cleanse you and fill you and then flow through your life. And then I want you to go out and I want you to share the gospel. And I want you to get on your knees and I want you to pray for me to pour out my spirit upon your community and convict people and draw them to myself. It's a very, very simple thing, the church. But we can complicate it so much because we've lost the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit's moving in power, it is very simple, but it is very powerful. And so that's what I just wanted to just remind us. I know you all know this, but we can pray for those rivers from heaven to move and God to pour His Spirit in this community. And we need to again, because Red Deer needs another fresh touch from God. Sylvan Lakes needs another. All this whole Central Alberta and right across this nation needs another touch of God. Because if we don't have one, I don't know where we're headed, but it's not a good direction. So I'll just maybe pray. Lord God, I just want to thank you for your word, for the promises in your word. You said they're exceeding great and precious promises. And Lord, the promise that you gave us of your Son, I remember, Lord, in your word when you said about Abraham that he was strong in faith. He didn't stagger at your promises through unbelief when he saw his own body was 100 years old and his wife was past the age of childbearing. You'd promised him that he was going to have a son that was going to be the heir of our Savior. And so he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to you. And being fully persuaded that what you'd promised, you were able also to perform. And so, Lord, he believed you. And you sent that little boy. But Lord, as we look at his life, we saw a time in his life when he made a mistake. He tried to fulfill that promise in his own strength. And we as a church, Lord, we sometimes try to do your work in our own strength by manipulating people, by whatever means. We start in the spirit and we try to do your work in the flesh. And I pray you'd forgive us. And Lord, we turn to you now and we say to you, we need you to move. We need you to pour out your Spirit upon our families, upon our communities, upon this nation. And Lord, we trust in you. We thank you for this beautiful promise that if we're evil and know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will you give your Holy Spirit to them that ask you? And so, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for trusting in other things. And we just pray for you to pour out your Spirit. We're going to continue to ask and seek and knock. And we even think of this afternoon as we meet to celebrate Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd touch hearts there, touch our hearts, touch the hearts of others around. But Lord, we pray that even now, even in this community, even tonight, that you'd pour out your Spirit upon every home in this area. I think of that centurion who said, I can't even have you into my home. You're too great. But if you say the word, my servant will be healed. And he knew that you could work in his home at that moment. Just like you could work in every single home in this community, pouring out your Spirit of conviction and drawing people to yourself. And so tonight, I pray that again for Red Deer, that in every home, people wouldn't fall asleep early, quickly, but your Spirit would touch them and convict them and draw them, and there'd be people thinking about you, and we know you're doing it. We see people being saved around this city, but we pray for so much more. We pray for your church to be revived by your Holy Spirit and the lost to be saved for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, ladies. I was so excited to call up Jeff that I forgot to do our memory verse for the week, so we will do that now. 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8, if you guys could say it with me, and then go cut it out, write it down, put it on your mirror at home, and memorize it this week. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Yeah, great verse, great reminder. I'll just pray a blessing and then go out and love each other the way that verse told us to love each other. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Go, my friends from Unity, spread that love.